from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
What it do, baby? Hey, one more time. One more time for perhaps the greatest athlete we've ever seen.
And, oh, man.
And another one.
Oh, my goodness. But once again, this is, and it's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault. I mean, I missed it. Was this an early morning thing?
Started early, yeah.
About what, four out here?
No, I don't think it started that early. I don't think it started that early because I was up watching it like 6 and there it wasn't on yet.
Okay.
So I think it started a little bit later because the team final that finished today started a couple days ago. It's one of the first things that you get out the gate. Simone, it started Saturday. That's why Simone wasn't at. That's why they were FaceTiming her because she wasn't at the opening ceremony.
I realized looking at that team, they have three people on there that. I know and I like, obviously Simone, and then Sunny Lee, I liked her. She won like the world championships, or did she win gold last time or something? That's how I got introduced to her or whatever. She's dope. And then I didn't realize the young lady from UCLA was on there who, like, when she was at UCLA, was going viral for all her performances. She was like incorporating Beyonce songs into it and stuff. Like,
yeah,
she was killing.
Yeah,
she
was killing. Yeah.
And she, I didn't know she was on this team, man. So shout out to them.
I don't know if the Giants are going to have a team by the time the deadline gets here.
Whether they have players or not, I don't know if they have a team.
Can you get your glove? You're playing the outfield.
I'm ready. Put me in, coach.
No.
Put me in.
Trading Alex Cobb now. So that's what, like four people they've traded in the last 2 days?
Yeah, Farhan making moves.
Three or four.
Farhan making moves, man.
Is he?
He's cooking. Yeah. I mean, the Vazorp is something that we have to get back on balance here because the Vazorp is not matching up with the Gazurg.
Okay. Riveting. It gets you every time. It'll get you every time. But we in here, man. We appreciate that you guys are here with us. We got our eyes on the Olympics once again. Of course, the women's gymnastic team just took home the gold medal. That's fun.
Air horns for them.
No,
air horns for that gold medal.
Nothing wrong with that. No men's bass. No USA basketball today.
Tomorrow at 12, I believe.
I watched a little bit of was it Australia and Canada?
Yeah, yeah. Jordy Fernandez doing it again.
A little bit of that this morning.
Jordy got these guys cooking. And then I don't know who won the game. I somebody will tell me anyway, even if I ask for no spoilers. France and Japan, who won that one?
Oh, do you want spoilers?
Somebody's going to tell
me. Are we going to pull it up on the app and watch it during the show?
No, it's fine. You guys can tell me. I mean, we could tell the people, too.
Yeah, France got that one, I believe.
Mm, was it overtime? Because it was close.
I remember it was overtime, but I believe they got some home cooking at the end.
So. Oh, is that when Rui got thrown out? Is that what they were talking about? Or he got like a technical?
Rui, and then there was a four-point play that France got at the end, I believe, or something like that. I was catching the highlights on Twitter.
The old Larry Johnson four-point play situation.
Home cooking.
Okay, all right.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Continued praise for YouTube and for Peacock. They have just hit a home run.
Did you see the rugby bronze medal game? That finish?
I saw the finish of it.
All I saw too. I wasn't watching the game. That was pretty dope. Yeah, that was dope to see.
I love the young lady. Ilona, the one who got the stiff arm.
One who scored or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, she's like, if you pull up her socials, she's very funny.
Yeah.
Like, she is a character. Like, she is a really, really entertaining young lady.
See, and that's the great thing about.
And she looks like she could beat the hell out of all. Like, if it's legit Royal Rumble, she's going 1 through 30. Taking everybody.
She wouldn't
out.
Beat the hell out of me because I'm getting out the way.
Yeah. Dude, old Drew Carey and just do the old Drew Carey when Kane comes down and just jump out of the ring. Hit him with the no.
I'm out. But that's the great thing about the Olympics, right? Like, I wouldn't have known her and known
that's right.
What she does and her socials and stuff like that. But you get introduced to these athletes, these phenomenal athletes, and they have moments like this. And, you know, you get to remember them forever. They live forever to a certain degree. So I'm looking forward to more moments like that.
The final boss is out there giving speeches about Olympians. She's trying to she's trying to motivate her team with speeches about the Olympics.
See, that's what a good leader does, man. Always timely with the things
she's trying to find a way to connect. She was talking about the men's gymnastics team as I was coming in here. So
remember when one of the ways she tried to connect is Colin Cowherd's quote.
She did that. She absolutely did that. She tried to use.
Who was that? This is super visual, but who was that? Jonah Hill at the awards? And he's like,
she brought up Colin Cowherd, and I think her next line was, "This guy's brilliant." And Kenny and I looked at each other like, "Oh no, where's this going?" Stacy, stop. Yeah, I like the Olympics analogy much better.
Yes,
much better. Will Z's going to join us today. He's writing like crazy over at Kings on SI, so we'll talk to him. Of course, Trista Crick, top of the 2 o'clock hour, and our man Jason Jones from The Athletic will be with us in the final hour of the show. Lots to talk about the Steve Kerr stuff. I honestly think is weird, but we'll
what
talk about it. For those being like hypercritical of Steve Kerr, like what do you what's the right? What do you want? Like, do you want every guy on the roster to play? Like, is that what this is? This is supposed to be a feel-good thing? Because if Steve Kerr did the whole, every guy gets minutes, that's what we're doing, it's America, and they go out there and lose, he's going to get murdered. But he doesn't play Jason Tatum in a game that he doesn't feel like Jason Tatum could, you know, be the most effective on the floor, and he's getting murdered for it.
That's the thing. They won by 25. Like, it's fine.
Well, so
there's the other thing. What did you want? What did people want? Did put Jason Tatum in garbage time? Would that have made people feel better?
No, but here's what I would say, and I'm not critical of him. It's just kind of whatever. Like, it's not a big deal to me. But yeah, you were up 25 most of the second half. Like, all right, we up 25. It doesn't have to be garbage time. It could be 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. Get Tatum in there. Hell, get Halliburton in there. Get him some feels for the Olympics, especially if you're talking about you're going to need him later. Like, the whole thing that I keep seeing is, like Windhorst said, Bam's probably not going to play this next game because of the matchups and stuff like that. Well, if you really are going to have guys that play games and then don't play at all the next time, in a situation where you are about 25, let Halliburton and Tatum get a feel for being in the Olympics, and so they don't have to come in cold potentially. Like I said, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but I mean, they're
cold.
There's,
like, it's basketball. Like, they're playing basketball right now.
Yeah,
like,
but it's the cold. And so it's cold.
Kevin Durant came in cold. That's what KD came in cold.
Cold for the Olympics. I know Tatum has been in the Olympics, but Halliburton hasn't. Like, let him. You're up 25 in the third. Like, 2 minutes to go. Let him close out the quarter. That's all I'm. That's where I would see what you could do, especially if you have these things where, like I said, if it's true, like. Windhorst is like, yeah, Bam's probably not going to play the next game. So if you're going to not play somebody for – and they're not going to play a basketball game for 7 straight days, and you have an opportunity to get them in there, get them in there.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with that strategy, but I guess there's something in matchups that they're looking at and going, this doesn't work. It works better if we do this. This team has this level of size versus this level. This team has this amount of wings. They rely on this. Like, maybe that's – that's what they're going through. I can't pretend to understand, but you know, one thing Steve emphasized was, you know, it's tough to play a large amount of guys in 40 minutes. Like, you really can't play more than 10 in a 40-minute game, and that's an adjustment I'm making as a head coach, right? I don't know. I just find the discourse bizarre. Like, people thought Serbia was going to be one of the toughest matchups. Mm-hmm. They went out there and beat them by 25. And the complaint is, like, granted, this dude isn't my favorite. I thought Stephen A. Smith was absurd yesterday.
I didn't even see what Stephen A. said.
Stephen A. was, like, cussing, and, like, he wanted to fight Steve Kerr over this. It's like, bro, like.
Felt like a Twitter conversation over, like, the media.
Like, what? And I get it. Like, maybe people don't want to talk about Simone Biles, or they don't want to talk about, you know, beach volleyball or indoor volleyball or whatever that sport going down in the lower right-hand corner.
Field hockey.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
So yesterday we had handball on, and I had to turn it off because I found myself watching it because I couldn't understand what was happening. Like, and I was trying to dissect how this game works. And I just completely stopped paying attention to you. I had to turn handball off because I was like, I don't know what's going on up here, but if I keep it here, it's just going to be the Kenny Caraway show. Because I need to know what's going on. So maybe that's all it is it's July 30th and they're trying to find a way to manufacture conversations with topics that they know people like and love. And of course, that's the NBA. I flipped on Get Up. To see, just what are they talking about? Mm-hmm. Any guesses? You want to guess?
Football.
They were talking about football. That's easy. Okay, good guess. What?
Aaron Rodgers.
Bang. Aaron Rodgers' leadership ability with the New York Jets.
That's that time of year.
That was the lead. That was the first story. I was like, yeah, okay. I'm gonna go back to. I think volleyball was on or something.
Were they talking about that clip that came out the other day? That was pretty interesting.
I don't know. I literally saw they're talking about Aaron Rodgers. I'm leaving. Yeah, I was the Simpsons meme. I put my hat down, turned around, picked it back up, and left.
I think what happened maybe Friday or something like that is there was Aaron Rodgers and one of the receivers was kind of going at it. Not nothing crazy, but an animated discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I read this on Twitter. I played it so to see if I could hear it. I couldn't hear. So I don't know if somebody was like, you know, doing a bar stool situation or this really happened. But somebody didn't run the route the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron got on him a little bit. And then the guy was like, yeah, you should have been at minicamp so we could have this taken care of.
Mm.
And then Aaron goes back and all this other stuff. And they went back and forth. They end up dapping up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
Maybe not much to do about nothing, but I'm wondering if that's where that
it might have been. Yeah, it might have been. It might have been. I would have hit him with the Anthony Edwards version of DX. Just a prolonged, strong 30-second just right here, Aaron. Right there, pal. We'll come back. I admittedly, sometimes Casey puts stuff in the rundown, and I'm interested. Casey lets me into his thoughts once in a while, and I'm very interested in what you wrote about, like, this trade scenario.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't.
Okay.
The way you wrote this, I thought you, like, dreamt this, and, like, it was an idea.
I read it.
I did not read this. Bleacher Report
had a...
Oh, that's why. Yeah, I'm refusing to click on that. We'll come back. But there is something that's out there that probably deserves a little bit more discussion. It doesn't have to do with the Kings, but it does in a roundabout way. We'll explain. Steelo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader. We're just getting started on ESPN 1320. What do you think's more likely to happen?
Uh-huh.
I'll give you one of two scenarios.
Okay.
Don't James Ham this thing and not give me an answer. Aaron Rodgers stinks, or Aaron Rodgers is top three in MVP voting.
Which
one of those two things do you think is more likely to happen?
He's top three in MVP voting.
I don't think so.
Have we ever seen Aaron Rodgers stink?
Nope. But Aaron Rodgers going to defeat Father Time too?
He might. Like, I don't think he is. I don't like Aaron Rodgers as a person, but like I told you, before before Patrick Mahomes came around, he might have been the most talented quarterback we'd ever seen.
That was then. I don't think that's going to be this year.
I feel like he took a step back that last year in Green Bay. Yeah. That doesn't really get talked about.
But he didn't stink, right?
No, not stink. I'm with Dame, though. Like, I think he'd be closer to that than MVP. I think he's going backwards now at this point. Like, he's older and, like, his ability is not going to get any better. He's going to get worse, if anything.
I understand and I agree. No, Aaron Rodgers ain't going
to. He ain't going to be a top three quarterback.
I agree.
Or a top three MVP.
I agree with candidate. You, but you said
you get one or the other.
Yeah, stink is.
He's going to be
that is
he's,
out of.
He's going to be in the conversations with Jarrett Stidham. I don't even know if Jarrett Stidham's starting anymore.
That is completely out of the realm of possibility.
Probably, but
top three MVP. Like if the Jets are 12-5, the 2 seed in the AFC.
Jets are going to be 500.
Probably so, but if it's not inconceivable. If people think that the Bears might be good, it's not inconceivable to think the Jets might be good.
And it's not inconceivable that he's bad.
It's not inconceivable. You said, what's more likely? I didn't ham the situation.
Thank you.
It's more likely.
James would just be like, why not both? All right, James, never mind.
For the studio viewing, which has nothing to do with anybody listening or watching, Germany and Brazil are on right now. Basketball.
Oh, okay. Let's go over and watch that. Anyone on either of those teams?
Yeah, Germany, Schroeder.
I was going to say Schroeder.
Brazil, I don't know. Germany won the World Cup, though, so they're the big dogs right now. Yeah. Well, not really, but you know what I mean.
Where is it? Are you on Peacock?
I'm on the NBC app, so I don't.
So this is the one downside with YouTube is it gets difficult to find stuff sometimes. Mm. Like I had a really difficult time finding that game this morning.
They could be getting fencing out of here on this.
Well, no. Like everything should be on. Like it's here somewhere. I just got to find it.
Do we have the app on this TV?
Bro, are you serious? We barely have this TV.
Well, I didn't know if you put it on because remember in the days before we got an account, it was I'll log in.
Yeah. My Amazon account is still logged in here so we could watch Thursday Night Football.
I tried to put it on the 4K channel. My TV almost exploded.
Yeah, I believe that.
I will say this one more thing about the Olympics for right now is indoor volleyball has started, and I really like that. I enjoy indoor volleyball. I enjoy it a little bit more than beach volleyball. Indoor volleyball is I don't know. It just seems a little bit more.
Beach volleyball is intense to me.
See, indoor seems more intense.
Really?
Yeah. It seems more intense.
Maybe it's the sand flying up in the air. I don't know what it is. Beach volleyball looks intense.
It doesn't feel like in beach volleyball, because of the sand and bare feet and everything, you can't get up as high.
Uh-huh.
They in the indoor volleyball, they be getting up, spiking that thing, be yelling afterward. Like, I'm hyped. I'm hyped for indoor volleyball.
Spiking that thing and yelling afterwards.
one of the things that
I guess we don't I guess we don't get that here.
That's exclusive.
I'll fix it.
One of the things. It's 24-10 Germany right now. Germany is a real threat here. Real threat.
We got 3-on-3 coming up here in a little bit.
Oh yeah, we could leave it on for the 3-on-3.
Yeah, we could got 3-on-3 coming up.
I haven't seen any 3-on-3 yet.
I haven't either. I just know I saw Dawn was there this morning. They got to win. They got a legacy to live up to.
My girl's playing, and I mean it when I say she's my girl because I grew to like her because she seems like a nice person and she just keeps it a stack. My girl Haley Van Leith is playing. Mm-hmm. When Caitlin was cooking her, she just threw her hands up like, I don't know, what would you want me to do? Haley said, oh, I'm
talking. That was just gross.
What can I do?
Gross negligence on the part of
it
Kim
really
Mulkey.
Was. Kim Mulkey doing a, who was that, Sam Mitchell?
Well, somebody stop the damn match.
Who left Kobe one-on-one to prove a point. Yep. Ain't that what Jalen Rose said?
Yeah.
And Haley was just like, I'm trying. What you want me to do?
I'm trying, Jennifer.
So yeah, she's doing 3-on-3. But one of the things I say every Olympic year, and nobody really pays attention, although I take that back, I think they have paid attention, is I think volleyball, indoor volleyball, professionally, could make some traction. Now, I say people have paid attention because I believe I saw a couple months ago that ESPN signed a deal, a media rights deal with whatever the professional indoor volleyball league is. So maybe they're going to get it popping after the Olympics. They'll use the Olympics to springboard a little bit. But I think it could work. I think it could work.
That's one of my favorite things that you do is something happens and you hit them with the, I've been telling everybody
I have.
For years.
Did well, we do the last Olympics? Yeah, we did the last Olympics. We
yeah, 2021.
Yeah, I was saying, yeah. Yo, indoor volleyball.
No, I think, I actually think that you did. I'm just trying to be funny. I just, we're Studio 2.
Yeah. Oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. This guy, he's getting it done. He's getting it done. Damian Jonathan Barling.
Wow. No one knows what that means except the people who work here.
Just wait till your YouTube TV accounts in Studio 5 and 6 and all those places now.
Okay, so are you going to play the game or not? What's just going on up there?
I wish you guys could see this. There we go. We in there. Oh, man, he gets it done.
All right.
He gets the job done.
We're up and moving. So we got Brazil and Germany on the screen.
Look how pretty Paris is.
That is gorgeous, man. That is absolutely gorgeous.
That is fantastic.
We were really missing out. We should have just gone.
We should have.
Just go to Paris.
We could have got it sold.
Well, one of our account executives is there.
Wait.
Kelly's there.
Oh, man.
Hopefully she ain't bring them badass kids she got. Hopefully she left them at home.
No, look.
But Kelly's.
Hey, did you see what I was watching last night?
Was he watching the Boondocks?
No. That was Bebe's kids.
Oh. We Bebe kid. We don't die.
We multiply.
That's Robin Harris right there.
Because I was calling my son and my daughter. Y'all some Bebe kids. And Reese was like, what is Bebe's kid? We had an open night. There was nothing else on.
Mm-hmm.
Turned it on as a family, watch Bebe's kids. Ironically, what a coinkydink. I'm on Twitter. Bebe's kids debuted today in 1992.
Where did you find Bebe's kids at?
It's on a number of different platforms.
Oh, okay.
But for free, Pluto TV has it for free.
Oh, okay.
Like Prime has it for like $3 to rent or something like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't doing that.
Of course.
Well, not. I'll watch a couple of commercials. It's fine.
It's fine.
But now it's... I don't know if Reese said he liked it.
You know, that whole thing is based off of something Robin did in his stand-up?
Yeah, well, I didn't remember this, but that's how they start the movie. They start with clips of his stand-up talking about Bebe's
that.
Kids.
I don't remember.
And then
that.
It goes, and like when they're doing the opening credits and stuff like that.
I think it was Amazon that had like a old... It was pretty crazy. I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but it had an old stand-up thing that took place in the Comedy Store and like in L.A., and Robin Harris was performing there. And I can't remember. It wasn't Robin. It was somebody else called out a big dude in the audience, and he stands up, and he's making all these jokes about him, and it was Tiny. It was Debo, Zeus.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. But this is, you know, this is...
90s
early no it's early 80s.
Oh really?
This is like, wow. Tiny trying to break into Hollywood.
Oh,
probably,
man. Yeah, yeah.
And he's around because, you know, Robin Harris was gone by mid-90s.
Yeah,
like he was gone before he was gone by the time House Party 2 came out.
He might have been gone when Bebe's Kids came out.
He might have been. Yeah, he might. If you never watch Robin Harris do stand-up, he's funny.
No,
man,
he really,
like,
is.
He is crazy.
Yeah,
funny.
Test 2, baby.
And that's what it is. It's the way it's not necessarily what he's saying. It's the way that he says it that gets you to laugh every time.
His delivery on point. He said, he had a little funny scene there. Some of it's outdated. Some of it's still funny, though.
With that haircut you got, you better not. Never get commit a crime. Please, they had no problem finding you. Follow the drip.
He said the kids were being bad or whatever. And he goes, see, I'm over here and I'm like Marvin Gaye. I want to know what's going on.
My favorite line. I think the reason I love Robin Harris so much is he has a line that I've used for 30 years and is from House Party. Was blah, blah.
You do say that often.
I do that with Io. Io. Ohio. I don't know why they gave that boy that African name, knowing they from Cleveland. Yeah, I love that line. Whatever your name is, what you want?
Robin Harris is funny, man. But yeah, I watched Bay Bay's Kids last night. So I'm not calling Kelly's kids Bay Bay's kids.
Yeah, that just reminded me. Wait, is that right? Faison Love was the voice in Bay Bay's Kids?
I think I remember hearing that.
Is that a shoot? That. Wow. Yeah. Shout out Jack Davis. I never knew that.
Because I think that's what happened. They had the idea for Bay Bay's Kids, or maybe, you know, using it as stand-up, and then he passes away. Robin Harris passes away. And they keep it going. And yeah, I think I did hear Faison Love.
You said the movie came out in 1992, tomorrow, the release date, July 31st. I never knew that.
I remember vaguely.
I remember Tone Loke. And I remember Nell Carter.
Baby.
Yeah, I remember Tone Loke and I remember Nell Carter. I had no idea that was Faison Love.
Who was Nell Carter in there? Do you know?
The girl.
No, oh, the girl.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Nell that's Carter. That's such a good movie. No, Vanessa Bell Calloway is the girl. Nell Carter is
The girl, the ex-wife, maybe?
Nell Carter's the ex-wife.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. I love Tone Loke. Tone Loke should have just been in every cartoon forever.
He was really good as Sweet Pea. Oh, Mr. Harris, you trying to leave us? It ain't time to go.
So that brings up another question. So Fat Albert's just cooked, huh?
It feels like it. And you know what? I understand. I don't have any. Fat Albert was a little bit before my time.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. So I don't have any connection to it.
But
so
you had the genes just like I did.
Well, you know, shout out FUBU. Shout out FUBU doing what they did. You know, what was that? The Platinum Collection?
That was the Platinum Collection, boy.
Shout out to them. Try to bring it back. But
man, if you stumbled across the Platinum Collection at Ross, you were Ross or Marshall's, boy. You
size
was in
52?
Heaven.
It don't I'll matter. Wear it. I get it.
I'll wear it. My cutoff size was 40. If it was 40 or less, I was going to buy it, despite the fact at the time my waist was that's a lie. I had some 42s.
Nah, I had some.
Because I think at the time I was a little chubbier, so I was 36.
I wasn't a little chubbier, and I had 48s.
Yeah, I was.
Yo, NBA patch jeans? Oh, yeah. No, it's good. It's 48. It's good. I got it.
One of the stitches would be upside down, or like Fat Albert's eye would be closed, or like something that made it a little bit off, but you still had to go through it. Do you even know what Fat Albert is?
Yeah, I know what Fat Albert is.
Okay, I was just asking.
No, I don't like that. You guys do that.
No,
like,
I was just, what do you know?
You know what Bay Bay's Kids is?
No, I don't.
See what I'm saying? Right. Dude, Fat Albert was before Bay Bay's Kids. That's why you asked the question.
All right, well, I'm just saying. Like,
well, no, Fat Albert was damn near before us. Like, yeah. I just think you wouldn't even know.
People with the classics.
I caught the very tail end of Fat Albert. And it might have been like they were replaying it. Because I want to say, I feel like it was around the same time as the house party in the sports stars. I felt like
pro
stars.
Yeah.
I felt like maybe NBC might have let in with Fat Albert. I can't remember, but I would watch it. I would watch some of it, but I didn't have the attachment to it. So if it goes, it goes.
They might have brought it back.
That sounds about
right. They might have brought it back. Yeah. What was the trade scenario that apparently I am not hip to?
So Bleacher Report, I'm just rummaging around Bleacher Report, and they talk about the Kings, Jazz, and Warriors being involved in a three-team deal. And there's a lot going on this deal. There really is a lot going on. I'll just give you like the main what it is, especially for the Kings. Like in this proposed trade, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things, players and picks that the Jazz
get.
All
right, man.
So
I know who called this trade into the insiders.
So I don't know if he got through, but you know, it's good.
Probably not.
But we'll just talk about the Kings. The Jazz get from the Kings Kevin Huerter, Kobe Jones, 2028 first rounder, 2030 first round swap with the Kings. That's the Kings aspect of it.
Okay.
The Warriors get nothing from the Kings, so you don't have to worry about that. And what the Kings get back in return is Jonathan Kuminga, Kevin Herter's trade exception, which is $9.2 million, Kobe Jones' trade exception, which is $2.1 million. That's what the Kings get. And they gave up Herter.
What did the Warriors get?
They got Lauri Markkanen and a couple of trade exceptions.
I see.
Is this... I don't think it's realistic. I don't want to say at all. The only reason I say it's not realistic at all is because I don't think the Warriors and Kings would do business. In this situation, they may trade two-way contracts or something like that, but I don't know.
I think do you think they would do business? Yeah, I think they would do it if it was a. It had to be clear though. Mm. Like, this helps you. That's fine. This helps. There can't be any perception. Like, there's a, like, and we'll talk more about this. Some of the narratives around DeMar DeRozan's deal with Sacramento are a bit silly. And I think part of it is Sacramento. I came to that conclusion when reading this thing on ESPN earlier, is this is what it costs to be in Sacramento. Like, no one is ever going to say anything nice about you, even when you acquire a player that is universally loved and respected across the league. Mm. I think they would do business, but it would have to be clear, probably on both fronts. This works to accomplish our goals. This works to accomplish our goals. I feel good about where we're at. Should we face you in a critical situation? You feel good about where you're at if you face us in a critical situation. I could see them pulling that off.
Do you think this establishes that? Like, so we're just talking about Warriors and Kings. The Warriors end up with Lauri Markkanen, and the Kings end up with Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, I mean, I like where the Kings are in that scenario. I like where the Kings are in the scenario versus the Warriors. Mm. The Warriors are not bad at all. They're very, very far from it. I think the Kings are, at this point, marginally better. And the problem with being just like a little bit better is the fact that Steph Curry can mitigate all of that. Mm-hmm. Like if you're you know, on the same level a little bit, maybe the Kings are a little bit higher in a 1-2-3 game situation, whatever we're talking, Steph mitigates all of that for the short term. That's the only thing I don't like.
I'll push back a little bit on that.
Okay.
And maybe nitpicking a little bit. I think the Kings are clearly better right now than the Warriors. I think the Warriors are no better than a playing.
So Steph's yeah. Impact doesn't matter.
No, it's not enough. Sometimes it feels like he can, but he can't turn water into wine. And I think that they.
Well, yeah, I think I'd beg to differ, but I understand.
But I think the Warriors are a solidified play-in team right now. I think the Kings are certified in the top six for sure. I've had them at 5 or 4.
That's not a universal feeling.
I understand.
I wonder if that's a universal, just. Quick impromptu, is that a universal feeling amongst Kings fans or amongst the people listening and watching this show that the Kings are a top six team?
I think with Kings fans it is.
Like right now, today, no other moves being made, no Kuminga, no Markkanen, no Ingram, no Kuzma, no nothing. Mm-hmm. The Sacramento Kings that we got right now, is this version of the team a top six team? Don't hit me with the caveats if Herter does this or if Malik's starting or if this happens or if Devin comes back. None of that. Right now, today, yes or no, are the Sacramento Kings a top six team?
Yeah. Let us know. I think they are. And I think I don't think, like you said, I don't think the Warriors are bad. I'd be hard-pressed to say they're a top six team.
Yeah, I think that's tough. Yeah, I think that's tough.
Kings are top six. If they finished in the play-in again and got into the playoffs, like, that'd be an issue. And the issue
it's
is
not
like,
an issue. Not
an issue, but I mean, like the season didn't go the way maybe it should have.
I
think this team is good enough to be top six. I think there's I think they'll be top six.
You're being Twitter right now. I disagree.
Me?
Yeah.
They're better than the Suns. They're better than the Clippers. That's two teams that was top six, I think, right there.
Context is important, though, like, because you said if they don't make the top six, something went wrong. Well, if they miss it by one, or two.
Yeah, but I don't think the rest of the league is going to be that good, though.
And make the playoffs. You don't think the rest of the conference is going to be that good?
No.
Okay.
I don't think the Suns are going to really do much. Like, they'll be fine or whatever.
But the Suns could be exactly where they were last year, which was, that was close to 50. I don't remember what Phoenix
I think they were 48.
Okay.
I think the Kings are at minimum 50 wins, and I think that is top six.
And that's the thing. I expect them to be, the Kings to be If the Suns were the same place they were last year, where 49 wins, I think it was, the Kings should clear that. That's what I'm expecting from this group.
Like, I think they're better than the Pelicans already, and you lost six times to them last year, too. I'm expecting them to be pretty good this year.
I'm with you. Dr. David in the chat says, I don't think the Kings are a certified top six team yet. J-Lo said Kings top four in the West. Securing the Bagley. I don't know why he brought that name back.
I don't think he knew what else to do.
There's nothing to secure.
Yeah, he
secured a 50 wins.
He got his HB trade. He got his
he really,
what was the other one he got?
Monk.
He got securing the Monk. Yeah.
So he just went back to Bagley. He says yes, they are a top six. Christian says yes, they're a top six. Michigan Wolverine says yes. Aldrin says yes. Ben's little bro says top seven.
Okay.
So I think as we go through it, a lot of the to answer your question, a lot of Kings fans feel they're top six. To your original point, though, I don't know if that's consensus outside of Sacramento.
It's definitely not consensus outside of Sacramento. I mean, what was the over-under set at? Wasn't it
40?
Was it 46.5, 45.5?
I was going to say 46. I thought it was 46.5.
Okay. I think it might have been 45.
Yeah, I thought it was 45.5, too.
Yeah, I'm looking at last year's standings. Like, the Clippers and the Suns, they finished top six. They'll fall out. The Lakers, the Kings will be better. Pelicans, they'll be better. And the Warriors.
That's a good one. It feels like the Clippers are going to be really hard-pressed to finish in the top six again. And there was a stretch, 4 to 5 week stretch, where the Clippers looked like they could win a championship.
Yeah.
And then they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't before, they didn't after, but there was like a 5 week stretch where it was like, there they are, watch out, and then,
yeah, it like culminated in that win they had at Boston, because like people were like, I remember that game, it was like a Saturday, and the Clippers have been playing well. It's like, all right, well, they're going to Boston right now. Let's see if this is real, and they beat the crap out of the Celtics, and it was like, oh snap, they might really be real, and that was the crescendo.
Yeah, that was it.
They're like, that was their highest point of the season.
They did that and hit them with the, we'll see you guys next year. Uncle Loon says 35 for the Clippers. Do you think so?
I think that's a little too low. It's a little, 35 gets them like.
But I think I know where Uncle Loon's going with that.
If Kawhi's hurt, all this other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even have to be Kawhi's hurt. It's just Kawhi missed games.
It's not inconceivable. I'm not gonna put them that low yet, though. But it's not inconceivable. I understand what he's saying.
Norm Powell there. Who's their second leading scorer now?
James Harden.
Who will be? Oh, I forgot that guy's
there. James Harden, and then, well, they did sign somebody else. No, I ain't going to say it like that, dude. Look, the guy's in the NBA. But they did sign Miles Bridges. That's probably 20 a night.
No, they didn't. Porter Jr.
Oh, that's who? No.
Yeah.
Miles Bridges is, I think, is still in Charlotte.
He went back to Charlotte, but I was thinking about Kevin Porter Jr. and they had talks at the time. That's right. They had talks of bringing in Miles Bridges.
But the Clippers did.
Yeah, but they did. Oh. That's right.
Charlotte paid him a lot of money.
$375, I think, right?
Yeah, it was a number. I was like,
you got a bag.
I did not expect that at all.
I didn't either, man. I know it sounds crazy. I thought it was going to be like vet minimum.
I thought it was a bit. I didn't think it would be that low, but I thought it'd be a lot closer to that than 3 for $75.
Wow.
It'd be a lot closer than that.
So, I don't know, a
lot of this conversation might really boil down to, and this is where I think we look at the conference differently than other people, than maybe the national media does. Mm-hmm. Is the national media is enamored with the fact, well, Dallas just went to the NBA Finals, so they're right back in this thing. They made a few moves this offseason. They could be better. And it's like, they could. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one that I feel like of the top six teams where it's like, yeah, they ain't going nowhere is Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Oklahoma City was the one seed by a fraction.
All right.
But you can make the argument they got better.
You can definitely make the argument, even when you're talking about like the standings as well. We've said it on this show a number of different times. Just keep an eye on Denver.
Yeah.
Keep your eye on Denver.
Everybody is down on Denver right now.
I don't think they'll fall out of the top six, but
they could be five or six.
Yeah.
And of course, they're getting trashed for signing Russell Westbrook. because apparently Russell Westbrook is the worst player in history. Apparently.
Yeah, they shouldn't be trashed for that.
I don't know what happened. Germany was down like 15 a minute ago. Now they're up one. Brazil made the run?
Brazil. Germany was probably up by like 13 or so.
Wasn't he a king?
Bruno.
Bruno. Let's go, baby.
You know,
light the beam.
You know, you know the famous quote with him.
What was it?
A Fran Fraschilla. He's 2 years away from being 2 years away.
He's been 2 years away from being 2 years away. Bruno. About 8 years now.
Let Bruno rock in Brazil, man. He's doing his thing. We'll come back. We'll talk more NBA basketball. You brought up a couple of teams there. Well, you brought up Utah. Obviously, something came out in The Athletic today that maybe Lauri Markkanen isn't looking to be traded. But there were conversations earlier this week with a team that should have paid a little bit more close attention. We'll explain when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Back here with our man Will Z, talking Kings basketball. I'm sorry, this is Will Z of SI.
Mm-hmm.
This is
got to say it right, man.
This is Will Z of a major media outlet. Now, William, I don't know if you've thought about this or not.
I was just gonna say, you know, Chris Mannix of Sacramento.
No, he's way better than Chris Mannix. Chris Mannix is your boy.
Well, that's not my
boy. I mean, Zabo says he is Mr. SI himself, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
But you work for a major media publication now. We need to get you credentialed to come watch Kings basketball at the Golden One Center this year.
That'd be great. I don't know. That's not something I asked about in the discussions when I was getting brought on board, but it's kind of one of the things that I'm hoping will be the next step. So
we'll connect you with the proper people as you are now Will Z of SI. And you can also throw in the email, oh, by the way, your television broadcast jacks my stats like every day. So I've essentially worked for you for free for the last 2 years. All I'm asking to do is come cover the game.
It seems like that might be doable. I don't know. We'll see. Perfect. I appreciate the support and the help. I'm just still on cloud nine with it all.
No doubt. Now, tell me why you're trying to pit DeMar DeRozan against De'Aaron Fox. Like, you've worked for the national media for a week now, and you already hate Sacramento. Wow. Why are you pitting these two stars against each
Will,
other?
Hey, Will, go ahead. Tell us about defense. Yeah.
Go ahead, Will. We lost Will already.
You like, national guy. Yeah. Tell us.
Four articles later, we lose Will Z because he's got DeMar versus De'Aaron. He wrote about it. He's already trying to break the beam team up.
I was worried that it would come across that way. And I hope for everyone that read the article that you kind of understand that it's not. I even put in there, I can quote it. Isn't this deep dive into the numbers? Isn't to pit Fox and DeRozan against each other.
That's what they say when you're trying to pit them against each other.
No, that's true. No, but the whole thing is, Damon, you said it last week, how DeRozan has always kind of been the guy. He's been the leader going back to all the teams that he's been on, the Raptors, the Spurs, and the Bulls. And I don't think he needs to be that. Like you said, I don't think it means he can just take it easy and take a step back. It's just that he's kind of getting into a possible new role that he hasn't seen in his career. So looking at DeRozan, just kind of a nice catch-all is usage rate. DeRozan has led his team in usage rate 9 out of the last 10 seasons. The 1 year was 2 years ago. Zach LaVine had 27.8% usage rate. DeRozan had 27.2. So almost a tie between the two. But Fox has led the Kings in the last 5 seasons of usage rate. Or last 4? Get lost in all the words. Anyway, Fox has been the guy for the Kings. So the question to me is, who will kind of be that lead guy? Will it be Fox, who we've seen lead the Kings, or will it be DeRozan, who we've seen lead all of the other teams? It'll probably be a combination of the two. But when I look at how this season unfolds, it's pretty clear. I think that Fox is going to be the leading scorer of the Kings. What do you guys think?
I agree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
And it was 5, by the way. It's 5 straight seasons.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Fox is still going to be that guy. I agree with you that in these quote-unquote clutch situations, it's going to be just kind of a filling out process. and just kind of seeing who may have the advantage that particular day or something like that. Yep. De'Aaron Fox is a willing passer. He's a willing, like a guy that's willing to give up the spotlight, so to speak, or he doesn't have to have the ball all the time and clutch moments and all this other stuff. So he'll give it up sometimes to DeMar and even to Malik Monk. Same with DeMontis Sabonis. So I think because of that, you're going to get your moments where they look at a situation and they'll be like, oh, just for everybody that always wants to talk about this, like, Tyus Jones is guarding DeMar DeRozan. Give him the ball. Let him go to work. You know what I mean? He's too small out here. Or Tyus Jones is guarding De'Aaron Fox. Let him ISO. Let him go to one-on-one. It'll be a little bit more matchup-based from time to time. And that's no shade to Tyus Jones. I'm just, he's the latest.
No, it felt like it.
No, I like Tyus Jones. Feel like he's my guy. Oh, he's my guy.
When you hit him with the no disrespect, Will's 100% right.
He is my guy. I like Tyus Jones.
Okay. You know it's going to be bad.
It's kind of crazy what's going on right now.
Oh, Will is 100% right.
It's my guy.
If Kenny loves you.
It's over.
That's the what's that? The Godfather, the kiss of death, when they kiss you on the cheek or something like that. Wasn't that when they? Didn't he do that to Fredo? He hugged him and kissed him before it was over.
Him. He said it was you.
Yeah. Well, Tyus Jones, it was you.
Damn. Tyus, don't go fishing with Kenny because, buddy, it's not going to go well for you.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to know, but knowing, just diving into the numbers, like, what does it mean for DeMar? And I assume DeMar's coming here. DeMar's the 35-year-old. De'Aaron is the young puppy, and the rest of them young puppies, to quote one of our favorite VHSs. is it up to DeMar to kind of find his way in with this offense, or does the offense we got a veteran here, we got a multi-time all-star, how do you balance all of this with two high usage rate guys?
Yeah, it'll probably be a combination of the two. I think we see Fox come out of the game pretty early, about that 6-minute mark, so maybe just by staggering the lineups too, you can get a little creative with it, but it'll probably be a combination. I wouldn't be surprised if both their usage rates go down and we see them kind of become more of just a whole team offense. I think that's what we've been talking about a lot this year, is how DeRozan is going to come in and fit. And it feels like it's so hard. Do you fit DeRozan into the offense or do you let him do his thing? And to me, it feels like DeRozan, because the Kings run so much through Sabonis. Sabonis doesn't have the highest usage rate with shots and everything and how it's calculated, but so much of it goes through him that it really feels like DeRozan's kind of usage rate and role is going to go down. But at the same time, he's still playing at such a high level. And maybe it is where each game is a little different. You just go with who's got the hot hand. But I don't know.
I think in this particular situation, I feel like at least personalities are going to come into play. And DeMar DeRozan has a great personality and approach to the game, and he's going to be able to adjust. And that's what I talked about a little earlier with De'Aaron Fox, his personality and his approach to how he interacts and looks out for his teammates and things of that nature on the floor, along with DeMontis Sabonis. I think that's going to also help out DeMar DeRozan and make sure that he still gets those opportunities to feel comfortable out there on the court, feel like he can get to his spots. And I just think both of those dynamics are going to come into play in a positive way for the Kings. Maybe a situation, I will say this, though, where at some point, hey, it's enough trying to be nice about the situation. Do what you do. And I say that for both sides, for De'Aaron Fox or Sabonis. Like, yeah, I know you're trying to get DeMar involved, but don't forget to do what you do. DeMar DeRozan, I know you're trying to, you know, not step on any toes in any here, but in way out here. But do what you do. That's where I see there be a little bit more of an issue as opposed to the reverse, where people are trying to impose their will too much.
And, you know, that's something I don't want DeMar to do. Like, I wouldn't want DeMar to come in and be worried about stepping on people's toes. Mm-hmm. I think DeMar should come in and be DeMar, and everybody's got to figure it out together. Because I think when you come in with the idea of, I don't want to mess up what Fox does or what Domas does, you can't get a feel for what the guy actually brings to the team. Mm. Come, you know, like you were just saying, come in and be you, and then everybody figure it out together.
Right.
DeMar got to figure it out. De'Aaron got to figure it out. Domas got to figure it out. Most of all, Mike's got to figure it out. Mm. But do that knowing what everybody can bring, and then kind of maneuver from there. Don't come in, you know, half-stepping, dipping your toe in the water. Yep. Just jump in the deep end. Let's go.
Yep.
And I like it because with DeRozan doing that, I don't think the Kings need to drastically change their offense for him to be as successful as he can be in that role. Like, we're not looking at a widespread change in offensive philosophy. Like, he can run some similar plays that Keegan played, that Keegan and Sabonis ran last year with the pick and roll in the mid-range. Like, there's opportunities for him to fit into exactly what the Kings are doing with that style of play that he's bringing.
You also wrote recently about Jordan McLaughlin and how he works for the Kings. What did your writings find? What did your research into that article find about Jordan?
Yeah, I love McLaughlin. I think his game is, I didn't know it enough. So he's the type of player who has a huge impact in limited minutes, which is exactly what you want when you're talking about a backup point guard, especially one to De'Aaron Fox. So he, if you look at his numbers, had his advanced numbers were just off the charts. Defensive rating of 100.1, that was first out of 354 players with a minimum 40 games played. Net rating of plus 11, 14th out of 354, and he had a team on-off net rating of plus 5.8, which was second out of all of Minnesota's rotational players. So you know that when he's on the court, he's going to impact the game. He fits perfectly into the role that Davion was playing in terms of minutes. Last season, Davion played 15.3 minutes per game. McLaughlin was at 11.2. So you can slot him in right in that 10 to 15 minute range. And just having someone who can play those, they're hard minutes to play when you're coming in for short spurts of time. Mm-hmm. But someone you know you can bring in for those and impact on not only offense with his 47% three-point shooting, but his defensive abilities, I think, is just a perfect fit alongside with the rest of this roster.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.